is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the bang. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
There are certain moments in your life where you will always, regardless of what transpires, for the duration of time, remember where you were. You talk about the Jose Bautista bat flip. You think about the Leafs blowing the lead against the Boston Bruins back in 2013. Two personal memories for myself. And I think we could all agree that last night, the Bills and the Chiefs would fall into that category. A truly remarkable game. Perhaps the most exciting sporting event I have ever witnessed, and unfortunately for my good friend Carlo Koliakovo, did not go the right way for the Buffalo Bills. It's First Up, Korolnik and Koliakovo. Coco, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm crushed, man.
I'm not laughing. Like, listen, you know, obviously we like, you know, we jab each other, we make jokes. I wanted the Bills to win. I really did. And, you know, we had 20 fingers in the group chat just hurling, whatever the word is, just completely inappropriate chirps just immediately after the game.
There's a time and a place.
Exactly. Really he has no social regard. We know that.
I love 20 fingers.
It was completely uncalled for. But in any case, buddy, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine the heartbreak that you endured in the last,
you know what,
last
AK,
13 seconds.
I'm going to apologize to our listeners today because clearly I'm not going to be myself today because this is still really, really fresh. I've never, ever been on that type of emotional roller coaster in my life. I'm being completely honest with you. I've played professional hockey for over 16 years. I've played in some pretty big games, been part of some really special moments, and I've never ever put myself through that type of emotional roller coaster. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm emotionally drained and I am just crushed. I'm beside myself because of what I went through yesterday. I will forever be haunted by the number 13. Forever, because I'm forever blessed that we got to watch that type of weekend in the NFL, because it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. This is exactly why I love the NFL. But that game between the Bills did exactly what I thought it was going to do. And I said it was going to be last possession win. And I thought the Bills put themselves in the best position possible with 13 seconds left because of the unbelievable greatness of Josh Allen. And I love the guy. I absolutely love Josh Allen as a quarterback. But I am beside myself how you spend all year preparing for that moment. And in 13 seconds, you completely forget how to coach a football game. Your mic is off.
There's probably a lot of people, I mean, I would be shocked if you didn't know what happened last night, but in case you don't, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills 42-36 in overtime in one of the
greatest
incredible
football games
I've
ever watched.
One of the most incredible games you'll ever see, and which is actually incredible because it followed another incredible game between the Bucks and the Rams. And I'm like, all right, there's no way
the
Chiefs Bills can top that.
The
I mean, it was
gods.
Just so, so good. So in the fourth quarter, at the two-minute warning, the Bills score a 27-yard touchdown to Gabriel Davis. Josh Allen, a dart to Gabriel Davis, who had the game of his life last night. He had not one, not two, not three, but four receiving touchdowns. Gabriel Davis. I had the over of 37.5 yards last night for Gabriel Davis. He had, what, 200? In any case.
Close.
Then the Chiefs go right back down the field and score very quickly
thanks to Tyreek Hill, a 64-yard touchdown.
The cheater.
And then Gabriel Davis scores again. And then the kickoff, which has been very controversial for obvious reasons. You know, people are saying should have been a squib kick, which would have basically eliminated Mahomes' opportunity to go down the field because they kick it off. And that gives the Chiefs, I mean, it's still 13 seconds. And Mahomes throws a dart to Hill, 19 yards, and somehow Travis Kelce is wide open and just goes easily down the field. And I believe he had a 27-yarder. They take timeout, they kick the field goal, and that sends the game to overtime. The Chiefs win the coin toss. They go down the field just effortlessly and score another Kelce touchdown. I guess that would be the first Kelce touchdown.
You knew it was done. You knew whoever won that coin toss was going to win the game.
Which sucks. I mean, I think, yeah, it was done. The coin toss was basically the game.
I'm not going to be one of those Twitter critics that say, oh, the NFL should have changed its rule. They should change its rule for overtime because each player deserves a possession. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
In the playoffs, they need to change that. I'm sorry, you can't have that in the playoffs.
Like in a game like that, you cannot have the best quarterback in the game, because I think Josh Allen was the best quarterback in the game, not have a possession. And look, but that's the rule. Like, I'm not going to sit here and bark at the rule. At the end of the day, don't put yourself in a position to have a coin toss to determine your fate. You have no idea, and I kind of wish, but I don't wish, that there was a video on me and my brother yesterday watching this game.
I would pay any amount of money for this video.
Because with 2 minutes left, yelling at the play calls, yelling at the scores, yelling at Tyreek Hill breaking a 70-yarder, yelling at Gabriel Davis for scoring with 13 seconds left. And even with 13 seconds left, me and him and my other buddy that was there, we're saying 13 seconds left. Just find a way to close this game with 13 seconds left.
I was yelling
on the kickoff. Squib it. Don't kick it out of bounds because you want to kill 4 or 5 seconds on the clock. Because with 13 seconds and 3 timeouts, anything can happen with Mahomes. The thing that drove me nuts, before each play, the Bills called a timeout to set up their defense. How do you leave Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, their two biggest weapons, wide open on 2 consecutive plays when you set up your defense both times? 13 seconds, you gave up 44 yards. And this is my frustration when I, again, argue about coaching in the NFL. We saw it in both games. Sean McVay and some of his questionable coaching calls. Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott, with 13 seconds left, you blew your whole season because you couldn't come up with a game plan to shut down Patrick Mahomes in 13 seconds. I feel incredibly terrible for Josh Allen in that offense, because that offense did exactly what it needed to do to go into Arrowhead. Remember, I said the only thing that feared me about this game was going into Arrowhead and trying to win another football game. It just seemed like the gods in Arrowhead wouldn't let the Chiefs lose. 4th straight season in an AFC championship, hosting an AFC championship. Patrick Mahomes has been in the NFL for 4 years as a starter, and he's playing in his 4th consecutive AFC championship. God bless the Chiefs. They're the kings until they get dethroned of the AFC. But the Buffalo Bills let the moment get by him yesterday, and I am absolutely crushed by it. Crushed.
It was perhaps the greatest display of quarterbacking in NFL history, and Mahomes and Josh Allen. That's a game that, you know, was reminiscent of a Brady Manning classic in the AFC championship game between the Colts and the Patriots. There's been so many incredible games, including we saw Brady and Mahomes 3 years ago, I believe,
right,
in the AFC championship game in Kansas City. So there has been, just to reflect back on that game, there's so many different angles. I want to hear about your experience a little bit more, watching that game, the highs and lows, where you were, who you're with, And we'll hear from some of the principal characters involved. We'll hear from Mahomes. We'll hear from Josh Allen. McDermott, you'd mention him, the coach of the Buffalo Bills. And we'll do it all as First Up continues after one of the craziest weekends in the history of the NFL. We'll be back after this. Yeah. The Chiefs beating the Bills 42-36 last night in overtime, an instant classic, one of the greatest games, not only football, but sports, any experience that you have watching television that you will ever have. Welcome back to First Up, Karolnik and Koliakovo. My man Coco, a big Buffalo Bills fan that's been well documented. If you listen to the show, you know that Carlo loves the Bills. And Josh Allen, Coco, was absolutely magnificent last night. The amount of incredible plays. Not only, I mean, Allen and Mahomes, I mean, the number of plays that those two guys made where they were just scrambling around and just creating something out of nothing was mind-boggling. Just truly remarkable quarterbacking from those two. The first game in NFL history where opposing quarterbacks each had 300 pass yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and 50 rush yards. Both Allen and Mahomes did that. The first postseason game in NFL history where quarterbacks each threw for 303 pass touchdowns, 7 combined passing touchdowns. Each quarterback completed 70% of their passes. Both quarterbacks led their team in rushing. Everything. It was masterclass. It's what you, all quarterbacks.
That's your Super Bowl. That's your Super Bowl.
Well, it was amazing. It was so incredible. By the way, I had a bet. I was paid 35-1 for both Allen and Mahomes to score a touchdown on the ground and both of them to go over their rushing total. Both of them went over their rushing total. Mahomes scored. I remember the first quarter where Allen got stuffed at the goal
stuffed
line?
At the goal line.
35-1, buddy. That's was a pretty close one there. But it was a special night, and everyone will remember where they were for that game for the rest of their lives because it was just back and forth. Your neck just swerving back and forth, back and forth. Run me through it. So it's 6:30. You just finish watching the Bucs and the Rams, which we'll get to a little bit later. A remarkable achievement in NFL history as well. We almost saw Tom Brady come back from another massive deficit.
27-3 deficit.
27-3, not 28-3. But it's 6:30. What's going on in your world?
Well, I mean, I got to be honest. I was blown away with that Bucs game, and I just kept saying to my buddies, and there's this one group chat that I'm on where my buddy just chirps Brady because he thinks he's done. And I'm like, dude, just buy into the fact that he's the GOAT. And he just kept chirping, he's done, he's done. And then when he's making the comeback, I was just waiting for the opportunity to say, this is why you never count Brady out. I almost wanted to share the tweet, too, that this is why you never bet against Brady. And then their defense, again, we talk about coaching. You know, you're trying to preserve a chance to go to overtime, and you do cover zero on defense, and you leave Cooper Kupp wide open. By the way, Matthew Stafford, all the credit in the world to that guy to see what the perseverance he's actually gone through to get to the Rams to this point to host the NFC Championship game en route to the if they win that game, they have a chance to play two home games right now to get to the win the Super Bowl. It's absolutely amazing the position the Rams have put themselves.
Well, no, the Super Bowl is at SoFi. It's the home stadium of the Chargers.
And the Rams,
yeah. Yes. But it's something special for them, for sure.
After that game was over, I said to myself, why the hell couldn't this game be yesterday? Because this is the last game of the night, and we just saw three underdogs win. And are all four underdogs going to win on divisional weekend? Because then you start processing that, and I'm like, you know what? Stop doubting myself. The Bills are going to win. The Bills are going to win. And it started off exactly the way it should have. They come out, they get the ball, they play with the lead, they do everything on that first drive, including convert on 2 fourth downs to say, we're here to win. And I'm like, okay, great. And then I don't understand. Okay, they give up the touchdown to Mahomes, and he made three incredible scramble plays on third and long on three consecutive drives. I don't understand where the offensive play calling went after that with the Buffalo Bills. It was like complete opposite from everything that they showed they were last week.
and everything they established on that first drive. They just went to so conservative with their offense. It's like they wanted to establish the run game when Tyrann Mathieu was declared out of the game after the first series. And I'm thinking to myself, you have Josh Allen on your team. Shred this defense apart. For whatever reason, they kept it close. I was talking to one of my good buddies within the Bills organization. He kept telling me, relax, relax. This is a setup. This is a setup. They're doing it purposely to keep it close so that they open up the passing game in the second half. Okay, he was right about that. But I'm thinking to myself, you could still do that in the second half because later in the first half, they lost another one of their safeties. I don't remember the guy's name. They lost two important pieces on their defense, and they still tried to run the ball.
Yeah, the second one was, I think, Chardavius Ward got just...
That's who it was. Weird.
Steamrolled.
Steamrolled by Josh Allen.
Just smashed.
So
that was a sick run.
I'm so glad that we got to watch an incredible game like that, but my emotions just couldn't handle it. And now, like, the position that I'm in right now, I've got zero sleep. I have to do a morning show right now for four straight hours. Talk when my voice is really hoarsey because of the amount of yelling and screaming I put myself through yesterday. AK, I was 13 seconds away from creating the most epic video that we could have witnessed yesterday. The table was set up.
Really?
When they scored that touchdown with 13 seconds left, I can't tell you how many times I screamed, get the tables. The tables were set up for me to smash through one of them, and it was completely taken away from me in 13 seconds.
So there was this, like, outside of your house, there was a table ready to rock for you to jump onto.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to get power bombed through
you
it.
You were going to get power bombed by who?
My buddy that was there. Or my brother, one of the two.
They were going to power bomb you through a table?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have just jumped. The idea was probably safer, probably a better idea.
There was no way for me to get on. There was no way for me to get onto the roof, and there was nothing for me to jump off of.
Damn you, Patrick Mahomes.
Why did you do this? There was about 3 or 4 feet of snow, and the table was set up for me to jump to be power bombed through it. And God bless Patrick Mahomes, because as much as I don't know where else to go from here. All I remember is just sitting there. And by the way, I just want to give people that know me the heads up, okay? I am one of those guys that loves interacting with people and loves, you know, the banter back and forth. But the amount of people that texted me right after that Gabriel
I can't Davis even imagine. Why would somebody do that to you? Like, does anyone have any social etiquette, any understanding of how important that was? Like, I just left you alone. I knew what you were going through. Like, we get people like, oh, well, good game, man. Like, what was going on?
Dude, I must have had about 30 messages in that last 2-minute drive. How are your nerves? Oh, my God, what a game. How are you feeling? Check on Carlo Koliakovo right now. The Bills are going to win. Al's brother. And by the way, I've got it out for Al's brother.
Oh,
I am. He's dead to me. He's absolutely dead to me. Okay. And the grappler is another guy who I'm going to have an issue with today on overdrive. Because on Friday, the grappler reached out to me. I can't remember. He asked me he needed somebody to do to fill in at 6:05 as possible. And I told him, I said, listen, man, I'm sorry. I got to do the CHL and TSN. I won't be available because I'll be in meetings. And I said to him, I said, please do me a favor. Do not let Al's brother choose that game. I don't need the gods of Al's brother, whatever they are, on that game. He goes, well, I'm just going to draw. I said, I don't care what you got to do. Just fix it, whatever you can. Make sure he does not select that game. I find out in the middle of my broadcast that Al's brother picks the Bills. I'm like, I don't need this. I don't need this weekend. I messaged him and I said, if the Bills lose, I'm going to drive to your house and murder you.
I just don't see it happening.
As a joke.
Or, I mean.
Okay. So. Pretty far drive. So. He says to me, well, he sent me a message after Saturday's game. He goes, well, the Bengals won, so hopefully that's a good sign because he picked the Bengals. I'm like, okay, sure. Yesterday morning, he starts the day by sending me the Stone Cold Steve Austin meme that surfaced yesterday with the middle finger giving to the Chiefs and says, go Bills, because that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so. Okay, I say, all right, great, good job, haha. When Gabriel Davis scored its touchdown with 13 seconds left, he sends me a text message.
No.
Gabriel Davis, baby, with 13 seconds. Dude, I was talking to one person and one person only yesterday during the game. And that was my buddy who is in management for the Buffalo Bills. I said to myself, I'm not talking to anybody. And my phone was blowing up nonstop. And I just want to remind people, as much as I'm a social butterfly, please understand that during a sports game that's that big, especially if it involves, leave me alone until the game is over. James Duffy sent me a text message, and it's partially my fault, okay? It's partially my fault because after the Gabriel Davis touchdown, he sends me a message in caps, holy S-I-S-H-I-T. You okay? He says to me, the mistake I made was I sent him the video that somebody took of me screaming to the top of my lungs celebrating.
Ooh, that video I need to acquire.
And after I sent that video, I said, I hope to God I didn't make a mistake.
So Duffy is the only one who has that video.
Yes. I hope to God I didn't make a mistake.
I need to text Duffy and get that video as soon as possible and play the audio.
It was never ending. Like, I appreciate the people that texted me after the game to say, like, oh man, so sorry, can't believe that happened, stuff like that. And look, like, I didn't have any effect on the game. Like, it is what it is.
Al's brother did. He ruined it. It was Al's brother who screwed you and the Buffalo Bills, as he curses so many different organizations.
So then, after the game was over, Sal's brother texted me. He's like, F me this game. I said, this is all your fault. You're dead to me. Mm-hmm. Is what I said.
It's reasonable.
He said, and he wrote the F word really, really long. And I don't know. Like, I listen, at the end of the day, you know, I poke fun at this because, you know, you want to scream at something in the universe that was the reason why they lost. And look, it's not no one's fault, but people, Hayes and O complain about that all the time, about Al's brother, how he continued during every game. He just texts.
Well, he's sitting in the hot tub with his charcuterie board. What else is he going to do?
I almost blame myself to a fault because I should have never responded to those text messages until the game was over. Because I said to myself, it's not over yet. 13 seconds.
Will you send me the video you sent Duffy, please? I want to watch that video.
I'll send it to you.
All right. I really want. So this.
Do not post it on social media.
I won't post it. I need to see it. So this video would be from after they scored to put
after
them up.
After Gabriel Davis scored.
After the second Gabriel Davis touchdown in the fourth quarter.
13 seconds left, yeah.
Man, Gabriel Davis was just dominant last
night.
What
a beast.
The Diggs did nothing. Dawson Knox did nothing. It was Davis. It was Beasley. Man, but Davis, four touchdowns. Has that ever been done in postseason in NFL history?
No, it was a record.
Wow. All right. We're going to be back, and I want to hear the aftermath. So when Kelsey scores a touchdown in overtime, what is going on?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's do it on the other side. Let's do it on the other side. We're up against the clock. The Bills, the morning after, 42-36. The Chiefs move on. They will host the Cincinnati Bengals next week as 7-point favorites. That line seems short to me. I think the Chiefs are going to obliterate Cincinnati.
Chiefs are
going to
win the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, too. It seems pretty apparent to me. First Up continues. This is TSN 1050.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A cutback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Back here on First Up, we are looking back on a remarkable night of football. The Chiefs beating the Bills 42-36 in overtime. Mahomes, after the two-minute warning, had 177 passing
yards. Unbelievable.
177. He was 6-for-6 with a touchdown in overtime. You just heard it, the Kelce touchdown. And the Chiefs are on their way to the AFC Championship game where they will host the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't want to turn the page on the game last night. I mean, that's something we'll be talking about throughout the course of the morning. But the Bengals, did they deserve to beat the Tennessee Titans? If you allow,
well, yeah, they
sacks,
did, because they were the better team. But
I mean, yeah, Tennessee, some of the play calling, some of the decision making, some of the Ryan Tannehill plays decisions were just embarrassing. And the way I looked at it before the game, I'm like, man, you know, the Bills or the Chiefs, like, they really need to be hoping that since he can stage that upset, because I think Tennessee could be a major problem, especially considering the game would be in Tennessee if they had beaten the Bengals. Right. Then I left that game, and I'm like, man, that sucks that the Bills had to play Burrow and Chase and that Bengals defense, because Tennessee was just awful. Tannehill, by the way, you know how much money he makes next year? $38 million.
Wow.
He was awful. Awful.
What a gift.
On Saturday afternoon. And I don't know if you can really get much worse than the way that the Cincinnati Bengals attempted or didn't attempt to protect Joe Burrow, who was sacked an NFL record nine times by the Tennessee Titans. And you know what was crazy? I was looking at it last night. They didn't help the offensive line. Like, the play calling was so abysmal by the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. They had an extra guy blocking just 9 times out of 55 snaps. It didn't make any sense. Your offensive line is getting destroyed by Tennessee, and you're like, ah, let's just continue, and we'll just keep letting it happen. But the Burrow and Chase dynamic was doing their thing, and the Bengals beating Tennessee 19-16. That McPherson kid, the kicker for Cincinnati, yeah, he has balls on him, telling the backup quarterback, oh, well, it looks like we're going to the AFC Championship game,
yeah,
before he kicked the game-winning field goal. So congratulations to the Bengals, a team that hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years, now headed to the AFC title game. They're going to have a tough one against a Chiefs team that, I mean, they just look unstoppable. Like, let's be honest here. It's hard to fathom Kansas City not putting up at least 35 on Cincy. Can Burrow and that offense keep pace? I mean, we see an over-under of 53.5 points for the game coming up this weekend. It was an over-under of 53.5 points between the Bills and the Chiefs last night, a game that went way over. And if you listen to our man Adam Chernoff on Friday, he was absolutely spot on. He said it could be the highest scoring game in playoff history. Now, it wasn't that, but it was close. And was it 42 plus 36? Someone's going to do the math for me. A lot of points. A lot of points. And
68.
It's going to be a tough pill to swallow for Bills fans. And listen, this is a city whose sports history is tortured. We have the four consecutive Super Bowl appearances, the wide right, Scott Norwood, the skate in the crease and triple overtime, Dallas and Buffalo back in 99, Brett Hull. You have the Music City Miracle. And you have this, 13 seconds. It's just 13 seconds is all that needs to be said. You know what I was thinking about this morning? Dak Prescott's QB draw took more time than Mahomes needed to go 45 yards
to put them in field goal position.
So it's incredible, man. And listen, I can't even imagine the emotions. And it's one of those games where, like, you know, I had people texting me as much as probably you were getting texted. Like, how's Carlo? Like, our boss, Jeff McDonald. Was that something like, you couldn't pay me enough money to be in a room with Carlo right now, or something like that? And like, there was a lot of texts that I received, like, man, tomorrow's show's going to be crazy. Carlo, like, he's going to be so pumped, Carlo. And after the game, it's like, man, like, good luck tomorrow. Carlo's going to be miserable. And I know that's not how you operate. You're a professional above all else. But just the highs and lows. And listen, this is why we love sports. A day like yesterday, a day like Saturday, I mean, think of what happened.
Dude, when Cincy beat Tennessee, you know how pumped I was that they beat them? Because it was like, the Bills get a chance to host the AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. Like, this was their year. They win that game yesterday. There's no stopping them. No, with the way Josh Allen's playing, there's no stopping them.
No way.
And
no way.
It's sad. It's crushing. It's absolutely soul crushing to see and to be here today after witnessing what happened. And I'm going to lie to you, man. I'm not going to lie to you. When they tied that game, I was in so much disbelief. I come down from this emotional roller. I was yelling so much, basically asking why. The question's why they decided on two consecutive timeouts with 13 seconds. The Bills called the timeout twice to set up their defense. And they couldn't set up they set up a four-man rush, and they went straight into prevent with Patrick Mahomes as their. I don't understand it. I knew right away. So right after that happened, it was like the conversation went from how the hell did that just happen to we must win the coin toss. Because you knew whoever was winning that coin toss was winning the game.
Which is a problem, right? I mean, it's just bad. It's just a bad overtime rule. And I think one of the few things the CFL does much better than the NFL is overtime, where both teams get an opportunity at least. Like, the fact that Josh Allen never was able to touch the ball in overtime is wrong. It's just wrong. And the NFL should correct it. I understand this is a very rare example, right? A game of this magnitude with two unbelievable offenses led by two unbelievable quarterbacks. It's obvious that both should at least get an opportunity to score in overtime. And you knew the Chiefs weren't going to be stopped. It was impossible.
Well, not just that.
It was impossible.
Think about how emotionally deflated that Bills team was. You think you expected them to go out in the? You expected that defense to go out into the overtime and stop the Kansas City momentum? No chance. No chance. I didn't even waste my time in overtime saying stop them. Stop, because you just knew Kansas City was going to go in and score. I had zero faith. Be honest with you, I had zero faith that the Bills were going to stop Kansas City in overtime. And then when I saw them lost, when I saw that they lost the coin toss, I'm like, I can't believe they're going to lose this game. You just knew. Because if the Bills got the ball, buddy, there was no stopping them. They were going to go four downs the whole way because they knew themselves they couldn't give the ball up to KC. And we sit here today on what was the most incredible football weekend that I've ever been witnessed. I mean, you talk about three road underdogs winning outright in the previous three games. It should have been four with the Bills, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes had a different story to write.
He did. He was ridiculously good. Man, the Bills had the best scoring defense in the NFL, and he shredded them. They shredded apart the Buffalo Bills, and Mahomes was incredible. And I don't know who was better between Mahomes and Allen. I mean, they were both just at the apex of their games.
Yeah, I don't even think if it's appropriate to say.
No,
who
I mean
was
you can't.
You watch greatness.
It's splitting hairs. You saw two of the best to do it. Probably the two of the guys who will go down as two of the best to do it. And that's how good those guys were. That's how good they've been. Like, think about Josh
Allen.
Dude, Josh Allen had 9 passing touchdowns
in two games.
Is out of the playoffs. It's a travesty, but listen, that's like, it's the Chiefs. It's just the Chiefs. And last year, you think about their loss in the Super Bowl to Brady and the Bucks. Like, they had no offensive line, and they just got torched. And their number one offseason maneuver was to go and acquire as many as they could. And think about what that did last night, where Mahomes had a lot of time in the pocket. I mean, he just ran around and was so elusive, and the same as Josh Allen. The fact that those two guys are able to be just so cognizant of what's going on in the pocket and be able to dodge defenders and hop away and skip and duck under, and it's just incredible to watch the athleticism from those guys, coupled with their ability to throw the ball. It's they're two of the best athletes on the planet, and they put on an absolute exhibition last night, one of the greatest quarterbacking displays you will ever see. Mm-hmm. And when the stakes were so high, the divisional round of the AFC to advance to the AFC championship game, you won't see anything better. We'll play some audio coming up. I mean, we'll have to get Andy Reid's comments on Mahomes. We'll hear from Josh Allen on how deflated he was following that loss. And listen, I Josh Allen, not that he needed reaffirmation of his greatness, but he solidified his standing. Not that it needed to be solidified as a top five quarterback in the NFL, indisputably. So we'll hear that on the other side. First Up continues. It's TSN 1050. Josh Allen, 27 for 37, 329 yards in the air, 4 pass touchdowns, 11 carries for 68 yards, an all-time performance from Josh Allen. Usually you'd see Stephon Diggs with the statistics as far as the wide receivers go for Buffalo. Instead, it was Gabriel Davis who had the game of his life, 8 catches for 201 yards and 4 touchdowns. 4! Touchdowns for Gabriel Davis. And if you somehow, I don't even know if you could bet on Gabriel Davis to score 4 touchdowns. If you did, congratulations. If you had Gabriel Davis to score 2 touchdowns, you're feeling pretty good about yourself when it comes to the gambling world. But let's take a listen to Josh Allen coming off the field. And listen, inconsolable would be a very appropriate word for him. Let's go ahead, Chrissy.
It was tough, you know, to be in that moment. Again, had a lot of respect for Pat. You know, he throws a winning touchdown and he comes straight over and finds me, you know, to be in that situation and to do that. That was pretty cool of him to do that. And obviously it sucks the way it happened. You know, we wanted to win that game. We had our opportunities and taking it all in and holding on to that feeling and making sure that, you know, we don't feel like this again.
Yeah, it's he actually was in much better spirits. He was in much better spirits than I imagined. Allen also addressed the overtime rules. Let's hear it.
The rules are what they are, and I can't complain about that, because if it was the other way around, you know, we'd be celebrating too. So it is what it is at this point. We didn't make enough plays tonight.
All right, we're not going to play Josh Allen audio anymore. He's not nearly as sad as he should be. It's disappointing because I thought we were going to have something good from Josh Allen, but nothing good there, really. So he was, it was such an amazing performance from him, and you would expect him just to be in complete disarray, but very composed. And I think you have to feel good about that if you're a Bills fan, about your quarterback. Because for me personally, if I was sitting in Josh Allen's shoes and experiencing what he experienced, the incredible highs and the incredible lows, watching the 13 seconds, then subsequently in overtime, I wouldn't be able to compose myself and compose sentences at all. So for him, I mean, it was an all-time performance, and it's going to go down in Buffalo sports history and NFL history as one of the great losing performances in a loss as you'll ever see.
Look,
it just sucks that overtime was the way it is. Like, it's just wrong. The NFL should correct that. In playoffs, you can't have this as the format. It's just wrong. Yeah, you need it.
Yeah, you need both teams in the possession. There's no question about that, especially when you're being entertained to such an amazing game like that that involved two quarterbacks that were just unstoppable. But, you know, going into the game, there was a lot of people that had labeled this matchup as, you know, the new Brady Manning sort of competition in the AFC. Which, you know, there's legit argument to it, but just look at the quarterbacks that the AFC is gonna, you know, have to mess with in the coming years. You got Allen, Mahomes, you got Justin Herbert, you've got, you know, Lamar Jackson. I know I'm missing somebody else, but I can't think of him on the top of my head. But, you know, and I think there's, you know, there's a legit argument there to be made about, you know, Manning, Brady, and what that represents. But if this matchup explains anything to a Buffalo Bills fan. It's, if you go back into the history of Manning versus Brady, Brady dominated that whole series, that, you know, the head-to-head matchup, mostly because the New England Patriots found a way to host those games. And it's sort of the switch flipped when Manning and the Colts actually prioritized home field advantage so that they could put themselves in that same spot on home field. And I think that's where the priority has to change for the Bills moving forward is, you know, you go back and you dissect the season. And last night on my drive home, there was two things that I kept cursing at. I kept cursing at the number 13, and I kept cursing at Jacksonville. Because I go back to that game when the Bills put up a stinker in Jacksonville. And what that game could have potentially done for this matchup yesterday. If that matchup was in Orchard Park yesterday in Buffalo, I'm not sitting here this morning with a hoarse voice, crushed, breaking down a loss for the Buffalo Bills. And I think that's where this shift has to change if the Buffalo Bills think or want to go to the Super Bowl, because clearly they've seen it 2 years in a row that going through Arrowhead under Patrick Mahomes is the toughest obstacle to overcome. I mean, they did everything they possibly could yesterday to win that game, except for eliminate the last 13 seconds on the
clock. Well, and that's it. I mean, I don't think home field has anything to do with it. The Bills won that game. They just screwed up the last 13 seconds in a colossal fashion. Colossal. They allowed the Chiefs to go 45 yards in 13 seconds.
If that game is at home, the Bills' defense plays a lot better, and I don't think the Chiefs' offense would have executed the same way. I mean, clearly you could tell they used the momentum and they used the crowd noise to their advantage. And that's what home field advantage is supposed to do. I'm not sitting here criticizing that. The Chiefs did exactly what they need to do. Put himself in the position to win a big football game. And I warned everybody about that asked me about the Bills this weekend. I said, they're the better team. They should win this game. But going into Arrowhead and trying to beat the Chiefs twice in one season, it's a tough task to ask.
They should have done it. I mean,
they should have done it.
I can't 100%. Believe it didn't happen. I still can't believe it didn't happen. It was a game where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. And then 25 right. seconds later, you're screaming the same thing about something that happened for the other team. It was one of the great games in NFL history, and I'm still just kind of shaking. I think everyone, when that game finally concluded, was just in utter disbelief about the exhibition that we saw from those two teams. Just powerhouses. Powerhouses, and they're here to stay. You're going to see a lot of Bills and Chiefs for a number of years.
And I hope we do. It just sucks that we have to wait another year, especially me as a Bills fan, to try to take that next step, because it just feels like it was robbed from us yesterday. And not robbed in a bad way, just robbed in a very crushing way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I keep using that word crush because that's how I feel this morning. But you know, in the opposite of crushed, I mean, the troll job that Antonio Brown shared on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after we had witnessed one of the other greater games of this NFL weekend, where the LA Rams had a 24-point lead on the Brady-led Buccaneers. And it came down to the wire again. Like, that game was incredible in itself. And Matthew Stafford, for him to defy all the odds and to shut up all the critics against him and to put himself in a position to lead that Rams team was an unbelievable thing to see. And the Rams are the first team in NFL history to lose 4-plus fumbles and also lose a 20-plus point lead in the playoffs. And yet still managed to win the game against a Brady-led Bucs team. And you just have to know that if Brady had one of his other weapons, either Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin, they're winning that game. But
the Cooper Cup receptions down the stretch, I mean, how he got so wide
open. Your mic's
open.
Off.
Is my mic off?
Or nope, I can't
apparently
hear you.
Apparently it's not. In any case, we'll be back. We'll talk about Cooper Kupp and what happened there at the end of the Rams and Bucks. A truly crazy finish there as well. And I have to get into what happened on Saturday. Jimmy G and the 49ers getting by Aaron Rodgers. What is the future of Aaron Rodgers? He had some comments, some cryptic ones at that, about what his future holds, and will he be back in Green Bay? Does he want to go elsewhere? We'll have to wait and find out.
Another wasted season in Green Bay.
No doubt. No doubt about that. And they are $40 million over the salary cap as the team is currently constructed. So there will be some major changes in Green Bay for sure. We'll be joined by Mark Dominic at 8:45, our NFL analyst. We'll be joined by Jack Armstrong, who is a huge Buffalo Bills fan as well. Jason Fitz from ESPN Radio as well. So a jam-packed edition of First Up as we roll on. This is TSN 1050. What a set of four games we were blessed with for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. It started on Saturday afternoon. The Bengals and the Titans went down to the wire. The Bengals beating Tennessee on the final play, a field goal from Evan McPherson to advance to the AFC Championship game. That's two wins for Cincinnati in the playoffs after zero in 31 years. Pretty crazy. Good times in Cincy. The Green Bay-San Fran game was mind-blowing. It's freezing, freezing cold temperatures in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Should be no surprise to anyone at this time of year. Jimmy G was horrible in that game. He was trying to throw pick six after pick six. Green Bay not able to capitalize on those mistakes. And Aaron Rodgers, yet again, cannot get it done in the playoffs. We'll look back on the Rams and the Bucks, a crazy finish there as well with Cooper Kupp racking up a bunch of just amazing plays late in the fourth quarter. Shout out to Matt Stafford, who got it done as well. But Cam Akers was doing his best to give the ball back to Brady as much as he could, who just returning from an Achilles tear as well. Like, wild stuff. And, of course, the Bills and the Chiefs. 42-36. The second hour of First Up, maybe we'll mix in some Raps, who almost came back from an amazing deficit of their own last night against the Portland Trailblazers, and the Leafs 3-1 win over the Islanders on Saturday night. So much to get to. The second